everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. Today is June 22nd, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. I first met Diego Boneta about a decade ago when he landed his first movie role, a starring part opposite Tom Cruise, Julianne Hough, and Alec Baldwin in 2012's Rock of Ages. Since then, the Mexico City-raised Boneta has appeared in Scream Queens, Terminator Dark Fate, and Luis Miguel, the series. His production company, Three Amigos, signed an overall deal with Prime Video in April. I caught up with Boneta for the release of his latest, Latinx remake of Father of the Bride with Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan. Boneta plays Aiden, who is set to marry Garcia and Estefan's lawyer daughter, Cora. But Boneta and I talked about a lot more than just Father of the Bride, including his first movie audition that almost landed him the starring role in The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, taking guitar lessons with Tom Cruise, and how Hugh Jackman is inspiring his Broadway dreams. However, before we get to Boneta, let's take a look at this week's Just for Variety column. In Apple TV's new Loot, Maya Rudolph plays Molly Novak, the wife of a billionaire tech mogul played by Adam Scott, who finds out he's having an affair. Scenes at the couple's home were shot at the 105,000-square-foot The One, a Bel Air estate believed to be the biggest home in the U.S. that sold for $126 million in March. When I saw the indoor pool, I thought, oh, wow, the pool is beautiful, Rudolph told me at the show's premiere at the DGA in West Hollywood. But then they said there are six other pools. There's a moat and a nightclub, and any house that has a candy room is definitely over the top. I also caught up at the Loot premiere with Joel Kim Booster, who plays Molly's assistant. Booster is still riding high from the launch of his queer rom-com, Fire Island. He revealed an unexpected development since the movie premiered on Hulu earlier this month. Some of my favorite porn stars have reached out to me, and that's been great, Booster said with a smile. We've reached back, and then some. He named Chirac as the adult entertainer he was most happy to hear from. Check out more of my Just for Variety column inside Variety or at Variety.com. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm talking to Father of the Bride star, Diego Boneta.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Diego.
How are you? Sorry, I was in a meeting with a director that ran late.
Oh, don't worry about it. Not a problem at all. I'm just sitting with stuff up here, recording. How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you in Milan already or?
No, I leave tomorrow.
Nice. And you're going there for Milan Fashion Week with Armani?
Yes, I am.
When did your relationship with Armani start? Because I've seen you at a few of their events, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, I started wearing their stuff. I think it was for the Vanity Fair party. Mm. And then they invited me to a couple of their events. And I love their clothes. I mean, they're just so comfortable. And I love, I'm more of like a classic.
Yeah.
Kind of and with a bit of a twist, and they have that. So I love it.
So how long do you go to Milan for?
I'm going to Milan for a couple of days.
Nice.
And then I'm going to Spain after that.
For work or play?
I am going to an acting workshop with my acting coach, who's Juan Carlos Coraza. He's Javier Bardem's acting coach and Penelope Cruz's acting coach and my acting coach. And he's doing like a seminar for professionals there. And I'm going to go there to the workshop and do the That's workshop.
Cool. Is it like a little acting summer camp kind of thing?
It's a 10-day intensive seminar.
And have you done that before? Or is this something new?
I have done that before.
So what happens? Yes. What do you do for 10 days? Tell me about this. I'm fascinated.
We read different plays. It's a very intense acting workshop where you read different plays. Everyone, like all the students has to, like they all have to read a couple of plays, and it's, about, there's different scene partners, there's different exercises that Juan Carlos does. And you all discuss the plays, you know, it's, sorry, my dog has just gone crazy.
I get it.
And, so, we all discuss the plays. It's, we do different scenes from the plays, different monologues. So it's monologues, scene study. Scene breakdown workshops. It's pretty amazing.
For 10 days. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I try to go, if I'm not working, I try to go every time.
Tell me about an experience in one of those workshops or a class that you took where like you felt like, okay, I'm breaking through. Like I something's happening. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was a scene with Juan Carlos where I had to play mentally handicapped character. And it was in my first seminar with him where I completely just broke down, and it was all about like changing like the physicality it was pretty intense.
Wow.
So
Father the Bride. So who calls you, says they're doing a remake? Do you remember seeing whatever version you may have seen? And where did you come in the process? And then of course we're gonna talk about Gloria Estefan, but let's first talk, you get the phone call, how did it all go down?
Oh, you know what else was a breakthrough with Juan Carlos? I prepped my role of Luis Miguel and playing him throughout three seasons. And especially the part where I had to play him older at age 50. And we were just like, you know, going through like the physicality of how it felt to, you know, play someone who's 50 years old and, right, you know, 50, but feels more like 70 years old, you know, because he's lived through so much. That was a great breakthrough as well.
Does the breakthrough happen at that moment, or is it more like, okay, you did it and you go back to, let's say, your hotel room or whatever, or you go back home or back to a set and you're like, oh shit, I just had that breakthrough? Or is it literally like a moment where like, okay, I've gotten to the other side?
It's both. You kind of feel it. You're like, wow, I've gotten to the other side. And then it takes a little bit to sink in. And it's not until you're on the day shooting it on set where you're like, whoa, like this, you know, all that prep, all those rehearsals really sink in and you can just be free in the moment. With Luis Miguel, that's how it happened. You know, I was working with Juan Carlos and we were rehearsing in his study, and you know, like, you know, I was like, yeah, like this is how it feels. And then it kind of sinks in and it takes a bit to digest and to marinate, you know, psychologically, physically. And then when I was on set, that's when it's fully there.
Do you miss playing him?
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing part of my career, of my life. It changed my life personally and professionally. I do miss playing him, but I'm also so thankful for everything that show brought to my life. Mm-hmm. And very excited of what's happening now with Prime Video, with the overall that we signed and all these new projects. You know, it opened so many doors and I'm very excited for what's next.
So let's talk farther. there you go.
Sorry.
No, don't worry. I'm at the office. I'm usually at home and I have two dogs who always, literally as soon as the Zoom starts, is when they start barking. So do not even worry about it. So let's talk Father the Bride. Who calls you? Did you know this was, that they were making a remake that they were doing, this new Latinx-centered Father the Bride?
Yeah, so it was Gaz Alazraki, our amazing director, who called me and was like, "Diego, you know, I'm directing the remake of Father of the Bride." At first, I was a bit skeptical because it's such a classic film, you know, right. From the Spencer Tracy version to the Steve Martin version. And then I read the script and realized that even though it's a remake, it's a completely different movie. You know, there's the divorce going on with Gloria's character and Andy's role, which is a big difference from the other movies. And even though, you know, because I didn't want to be in a remake of, oh, it's the same movie, but it's a Latin remake.
Right.
You know, it's a movie that happens to be about two Latino families getting married, and you know, breaks with stereotypes. You know, there's no jokes that are, you know, too on the nose, or, you know, it breaks with the stereotypes.
Right.
And at the same time, it's universally themed, where, you know, families from all over the world can see the movie and relate. And I think that's a very fine line that Gaz, you know, was able to do, and Matt Lopez with the script. And I had just finished shooting Luis Miguel season 3. And I love the fact that the role was complete opposite to Luis Miguel, you know, this like soft spoken, you know, vulnerable, you know, like a guy who's not afraid of being vulnerable, who's, you know, a big feminist, who's supporting his fiance, helping her fulfill her dreams. And I just love the fact that it was a completely different character, you know, and a different challenge.
So you walk on set and there's Gloria Estefan, who you've obviously met before, but it's Gloria Estefan.
Yeah. I mean, unreal. I mean, fun fact, Gloria Estefan, I've known since Rock of Ages, because she, at the table read, she played Catherine Zeta-Jones' part.
I know.
And we became close friends after that, when she was like, "Wait, you're Latin? You're Mexican?" Because I was playing a kid from Detroit. It's like, "What? I had no idea." And then we just became close friends, and she kind of became like my godmother.
Oh, wow.
In many ways. And she had a, you know, dinner where she invited the whole cast to her house, and, you know, being the great host that she always is. And then seeing her on set, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, she is the queen of Miami, the queen of Latin music, and she is so humble and so down to earth and disciplined. And, you know, she was, you know, willing to, you know, get her hands dirty to do whatever it takes for the role. And it was truly amazing to watch. You know, she would never complain about anything. Her, you know, call times were at 4 a.m. every day, and she was the first one on set. You know, she's a force to be reckoned with.
Talk to me about her legacy as, you know, a young Latino actor, singer. I mean, you're everything. Dancer, you know, coming up where, you know, when Gloria was at the height of Gloria, there wasn't that many other Latina superstars.
No, she paved the way for us.
Mm.
She really did. And that's what was so amazing about working with her, that when she was in the movie, like, she wasn't this larger than life Gloria Estefan. She was just another actor trying to do her best. And that, you know, is very, I mean, I just, it was just very inspiring.
Did you, when you look back on your career, you know, again, I understand what you're saying. It's not a true remake in the sense of like it's script, you know, script for script, story for story. But did you ever think, like, a movie like Father the Bride, someone one day may come to you and say, "You know what? We want to do this with an all Latin cast, rooted in a Latin story."
No, I honestly did not. It was one of those things that was, you know, completely unexpected. I thought it was I still think it's such a great idea to remake this movie, but giving it a spin, you know, giving it a twist, and not just the fact of it's about two Latin families, but the whole divorce bit, you know, helps with the conflict of the whole movie and the tension and the cast, you know, working with Andy Garcia as well was amazing. You know, he's another actor who paved the way for all of us, you know, and being able, you know, there's a scene that we've got to improv, to improvise. There's a scene where I'm trying to tell him about my dad and why I want to work for the nonprofit and why I don't need the money. And he just doesn't let me talk. That was a scene that we improvised on the day that that Gaz came up to us that day. Just like, okay, I'm changing the scene. Here are the new pages. Go and work your magic. And having Andy as a scene partner to improv was amazing. You know, I had to pinch myself being like, I can't believe I'm improvising the scene with Andy Garcia.
Is there a moment where someone says, okay, you and Gloria need to do the whole soundtrack together?
I wish. I mean, it's still one of my dreams to be able to, you know, sing. I mean, I would sing at her. She threw a party for the entire cast. In her house, where she invited the entire cast, the entire crew. There was a live band, and I got up there and sang. There was, I mean, we had the Ozuna tracks, but there wasn't, I mean, I wish, imagine doing the soundtrack with Gloria Estefan. I mean, that would have been epic.
When are you going to get on Broadway and do a full-on musical?
I can't wait.
You want it?
That's, 100%. 100%. That's one of my dreams that that's on my bucket list for sure. You know, what Hugh Jackman does and how he goes back and forth. Like that's my dream.
Is there a show that you would love to do that's in the back of your mind? Like, this is the show.
I was very close to doing Evita on Broadway, but then I got the offer for Die in a Gunfight. With Alex Daddario, and it shot at the same time, and it conflicted. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Phantom of the Opera, but my dream would be to open a new Broadway play.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break right now, but when we return, Bonetta recalls working with Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages. Plus, he opens up about his early auditions and why it was so hard to get work in Mexico. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Here's more of Diego Boneta.
Let's go back to Rock of Ages, because I think that's when we met. I think when you were first doing promo, when I was at E! And I interviewed you. What do you remember most about that movie?
Oh, man. I mean, working with that cast, it was such an amazing time. I mean, I was 20 years old. We shot it in Miami. I mean, it was like acting. It was like an acting masterclass on steroids, you know, because I would show up and do scenes with Paul Giamatti, with Alec Baldwin, with Tom Cruise. I'd say that seeing and working with Tom was what really was the highlight of that movie. You know, it was my first movie ever. Right. And Tom took me under his wing, and, you know, we did guitar lessons together. We both had to learn how to play guitar. So we did jamming sessions, and in those jamming sessions, it was, you know, a lot of, you know, him talking about, you know, working with Paul Newman and with Hoffman and what he learned from them, and, you know, homework that he would give me, you know, for movies to watch. I mean, like, I still remember him saying, Diego, if there's a scene that's, you know, that you're having a hard time with, we can read it. And yeah, just so generous, you know, and it's something that I'm never going to forget. I mean, and also watching him prep for the role and all the classes he took, the singing, the dancing, the, you know, obviously working out, you know, he looked insane. as an actor, it was, I mean, so inspiring. And then seeing him on set and how he managed set and how he, you know, it was an amazing learning experience.
That's what I'm just thinking of, the two of you taking guitar lessons together. You're 20 years old. What is going through your mind? Like, is there a point where like you have to sort of like get past that? It's Tom Cruise. You're there to work. But, you know, to this day, and I'm a little older than you, I still pinch myself when I get to do what I get to do. If I'm at the Oscars on the red carpet, I'm still pinching myself. I'm still like, this is wild. How did this happen? I can't imagine you're 20 years old and you're freaking learning how to play the guitar with Tom Cruise.
I know, man. I know. It was, I mean, I was pinching myself the whole time, but Tom has this thing where he's so kind and he's so engaged in conversation and whatever it is that you're doing, that he kind of like you forget that you're talking to Tom Cruise because he makes you feel so comfortable. Wow. And so, yeah, just, you know, that it was, you know, yeah, he just makes you feel so comfortable that it'd be 15 minutes later and I'd be, oh shit, you know, I'm actually playing guitar with Tom Cruise in his living room and our guitar coach EJ. But he's not someone to remind you of, hey, like you're with Tom Cruise right now. It's the complete opposite. Mm.
So now let's talk about your deal with Prime Video.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you probably can't tell me stuff that's in development. Of course, if you want to break news with me, more than happy to. But what are you hoping to do? What is overall with Prime Video mean for you, mean for your career, mean for your production company?
I mean, it's truly a dream come true. You know, I wanted to get into producing pretty much since I worked with Tom and I saw how he, you know, was doing post-production in a movie, shooting a movie and doing pre on his next movie. I was like, you know, that's what I would one day, like, that's my dream. And after producing Luis Miguel and New Order, which won the Silver Lion at the Venice Film Festival, during COVID, I just, me and my partners and three amigos, Josh Glick, who's my manager, and my sister, Natalia, we were just so focused on setting things up, and just developing, you know, as the pandemic was going on, you know, that's what kept us going, you know, talking to different writers and developing projects with different writers, directors, and then that's how Amazon came about. You know, we sold a couple of projects to them and that's how we started our partnership. I mean, what does this mean to me? It's the start of a new chapter in my career. There's nothing like, you know, working with my best friend and my sister, developing projects together. We want them to be, you know, it's whether they're in Spanish, bilingual, or in English, we want them to be global projects and big projects. You know, if it's a show in Spanish, we want it to be the best quality show there is, so that people in Germany and France and Latin America can watch the show. You know, and Amazon is giving us the platform and the resources to think big and we're working on different movies, limited shows, limited series, TV shows, podcasts, books. And they are truly amazing partners. And I see this as a team. We're truly a team trying to make the best content, we can make at the highest quality possible.
Is it, do you think, I'm just, especially when you were just talking about, you know, developing projects that really could have this international reach. Is it because before, you know, you had television, you had the studios, the streamers have sort of, I think, have created this opportunity for artists like you who are bilingual, who are binational, to do projects that can have that reach and not worry like a studio worries, like, oh my God, if we don't open the theater and doesn't get ticket sales, we're screwed. Where you're able to develop something on a streamer and say, by the way, you put it on your streamer, you put it on Amazon, you know, Venezuela, Amazon, you know, does that make sense? Like, this has created that opportunity, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm making sense here, the world wants that content because that content has become available to them. Does that make sense?
Yes. And it's a huge responsibility, Mark, you know, yeah. And it's really exciting because we're developing shows and movies in Spanish for, you know, Latin audiences, but also global, because right now language doesn't matter. It's just whatever's right. The best content, whatever's the best quality wins. So that's really what we're going for. The best quality with the best filmmakers, the best writers. We're packaging stuff and trying to create the best teams behind each one, so that globally they can be, you know, the highest quality possible.
When you were starting out, when you came to Hollywood, was your heritage and your background embraced, or were there people who were saying, you know what? Maybe not, I don't want to say passing. That's not, I think that's too strong of a word. But was it embraced where it was like, okay, we're going to get you these Latino roles? Or it wasn't as fruitful? Does that make sense? Am I making sense? I know I'm blabbering.
No. It makes perfect sense. I'd say that at first it was challenging because there weren't as many Latino roles, right. And my name is, you know, Diego Boneta, and I wasn't Latino enough for the Latino roles, and I wasn't white enough for the Caucasian role. So I was kind of like in this middle ground, right? And right. Actually, before, you know, because my name is Diego Gonzalez Boneta, it's a hyphenated last name, and I would go out as Diego Gonzalez, and they, you know, they thought I was American because their, you know, vision of what a Latino was completely different, right? They're like, wait, you're Mexican? Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't until my agent said, you know what, let's go out trying Diego Boneta and see what happens, that I booked the first role in 90210. No one asked me where I was from, why I spoke English the way I did, what my background was. They just thought I was, you know, Italian American or whatever. Right. And I mean, it was definitely challenging. Right now, I think times have changed. We're in a very different place than where we were 15 years ago. Yeah. There's more opportunities. I mean, my career was kind of the reverse crossover because I started doing, you know, work here, 90210, Pretty Little Liars, Rock of Ages, Scream Queens, and then Luis Miguel came about. And that was the first project I did in Spanish in 10 years. So I went to Mexico to shoot that 10 years later. And then New Order came about, which is the first Mexican movie I've ever done. And that was in 2019. And so it was kind of a reverse crossover. And that's when I realized, wow, that's the best of both worlds. I want to be able to do projects in America where I can play whatever I can physically play, you know, Caucasian, Latin, but not only Latin roles. And I want to be able to work with the best Latin filmmakers and do projects in Latin America. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Mm. So it was definitely challenging at first. And I think that now it's turned into, you know, it was a double-edged sword at first, and now it's more becoming a plus. Mm. You know, there's slowly there's been more pros than cons.
Right. So take me back to this with your name, with Gonzalez. So your manager says drop the Gonzalez because people were assuming you were Mexican, and then they'd see you and be like, you're Mexican?
Yeah. Yes. 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 And then he was like, well, you know, let's try Boneta and see what happens, you know? And I would always, you know, for casting calls, I would always write down my full last name, Gonzalez Boneta. And there was times where there'd be, okay, Diego Boneta, you know, and instead of Diego Gonzalez, but it wasn't until he said, you know, let's just go out with only Diego Boneta and see what happens. And sure enough, that was the first.
And you got it.
Yeah.
So one last question for you. Take me back to your first audition you ever went on. What was it for, and did you get the part?
The first audition I ever went on was Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. And it was with Carla Houle, who, funny enough, later then cast me on Luis Miguel. I did that audition in Mexico City. They flew me to LA to test and meet the studio, and for the first time ever, it was insane. You know, it was my first feature film audition and my first audition, period. Not just for Mexican cinema, but in general, it was just my first feature film audition. And they flew me up here. I tested. I did not get the part, but it was between me and Ben Barnes. I was 15 years old, 16 years old when I auditioned, and that was the audition that made me go, you know what? I'm going to move to LA. You know, I'm going to give it a shot. You know, they were opening more doors. I mean, I was waiting. I was, you know, trying to get auditions for Mexican films for years, and they would not see me because they're like, no, you don't look Mexican enough. Wow. And your mom's American, you know, so you can't play Mexican. I was in this weird, you know, and then I was in this weird limbo, Mark. And then they auditioned me for Prince Caspian. I almost got the part, and I was like, you know what? I've been knocking at the wrong door. I should, you know, I've been trying to get into Mexican, you know, film for a while, and it's just not happening. And, you know, first feature film audition that I get, which happens to be for a Hollywood movie, I almost get, I'm going to move to LA and give it a try. And that's why I moved here.
Wow. Have you met Ben Barnes? Have you mentioned this?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
And it's funny, cause he was then the first runner up for Rock of Ages, funnily enough, years later.
What?
So yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yes, he also tested for that. Yeah, I mean, I've met Ben, and he's a great guy. And I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah.
Wow. Well, you both did pretty well. I think you both did pretty well. Diego, thank you so much for doing this. I'm glad we got to do this.
Mark, it's such a pleasure. I've known you for such a long time. Thank you for having me. Wow. And it's always a treat to talk to you. It's always a pleasure.
That was Diego Boneta. Father of the Bride is available on HBO Max. Thanks for listening to Just for Variety. I'll see you next time. But for now, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. And for all your breaking Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. See you soon.